Good morning, Calvary Chapel, Low Country. And good morning to those who are watching online. We're glad you decided to join us. I just want to share a scripture, Psalm 121. And it says, I lifted my eyes up to the hill. Where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And we look at this at Psalm 121, we can see that God is the all-powerful creator. And it's someone we can find trustworthy. It's someone that we can go to in times that we need to call out to him, at times that we want to cry out to him and ask for help. And all the word scripture says, call to me and I will answer you. And you will never get a busy signal. You won't be sent to voicemail. We have that opportunity to go immediately to the throne room because of what Jesus did. And the reason why he's always there, because as you look at Psalm 121, it says he never sleeps or slumber. So why don't we go through what's going on, of course, this week at Calvary Chapel, Low Country. And we're going in the last day of Revelation today. Is that right, Dan?
Yes.
We're completing Revelation. And in January, we'll be picking up the new study. It'll be in the book of Romans. And we meet every Sunday here in the sanctuary at 10:30. So you should be excited. Look, go ahead.
Hebrews.
What do I say? We teach Romans on a Saturday. Okay. Thanks for the help. We're looking into the book of Hebrews, okay? And it should be an exciting time. So I encourage you to read ahead and study yourself. Take that time. Wednesday night, we meet every Wednesday night here in Sanctuary here at 7 o'clock. And Dan is presently in Second Book of Chronicles. So I encourage you to come out and be a part of that. You know, I always say about Wednesday evening, you know, through the course of the week, we need times of refreshing. And what better opportunity to be refreshed but in the Word of God? So I encourage you to come out and be a part of that. Weekly prayer meetings, Thursday evening, there's prayer going on here. And Barry heads that up, and he meets here at 6 o'clock every Thursday evening. If that's something you're interested in and want to be a part of lifting up the needs of this church, or lifting up the needs of this nation, please see Barry. And he will point you in the right direction where to lead us and take us. What else is going on? There's prayer ministry every Sunday and every Wednesday before the service. There's a prayer room in the back. And we meet at 10 o'clock on Sundays. And Wednesday evenings, we meet at 6:30. And if you have any questions or concerns or what that involves, please see Sandra or Mark. And they would be more than happy to point you in the right direction. And if you come in late, just knock on the door, and they will be welcome you with open arms to lift everyone up in with prayer. Men's study. We're not going to meet, as the women are not going to be meet. We're taking a break until January. And normally the men, we meet the second Saturday and the fourth Saturday of each month. And it's something I want to encourage you, the men, to be a part of, that to come out. That it's iron sharpening iron. We come alongside one another. We just study the Word of God. We encourage one another in the Word of God. And if you have any concerns, any questions, or what does it look like, how do I be a part of this, then please see myself or Randy, and we'd be more than happy to have you join us. Thanksgiving Sunday dinner is coming this coming Sunday, November 23rd. And the dinner will be held immediately after the Sunday service. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. So it's a list of appetizers, desserts, turkey itself, ham itself. And I saw a few people already signed up. But it allows everybody to know how many people are coming and what to bring and what not to bring. So I just encourage you to be a part of that. What else we have here? Couples discipleship class. It's coming Monday, December 1st at 6 o'clock. If you would like to participate in this discipleship class for couples right now, please see my wife, Elaine. Or please see me, and we encourage you to be a part of this, to grow in the Lord, to be discipled in the Lord, and as you be discipled, that you disciple others. So encourage you to be a part of that. Seems to be it. Tithes and offerings. We have an opportunity to give back to the Lord what he's already given us, and there's two offering boxes here in the back of the sanctuary, and there's a box on the other side of the doors. So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer and just lift up today's service. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your presence. And Lord, we lift up Pastor Dan, Lord, and we pray that fresh touch, that fresh filling, infilling of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And Lord, prepare our hearts, Lord God. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Soften our hearts to receive what you have for us. And Lord, as we take what you've given us today, not only just be hearers of the word, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word, put feet to it, live it out in our lives. And Lord, we lift up these tithes and offerings, Lord. And we pray that everything that comes in, is, like I said, is already yours, but we will use it for your glory. We will use it to further your kingdom that will bring you praise and glory and honor. So all the saints said, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Let's all stand, shall we? And please feel free to sit down if you need to after we get started singing. I just want everyone to feel comfortable. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you today. We know, Lord, that our world and our nation can be filled with trials and tribulations, but Lord, we know that you're with us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here, and we just want to express our love to you in Jesus' name.
All over my life. I see your promises and fulfillment.
that you give to each one of us, Lord, that you're with us, Lord. You're with us. We thank you, Lord. At your name, the mountain shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. So wonderful. And Lord, we just depend on you and we count on you, Lord. And the more we count on you, the greater we see your faithfulness. So we thank you, Lord, over whatever may have troubled our hearts as we walk in this morning. We pray that today we walk out in victory, Lord, knowing that you are with us, knowing that you love us, knowing that all your scriptures and all your promises in your book are for us, Lord. And we have them just, we just can't thank you enough that we have your word and we have your promises to keep us, oh God. And we thank you, Lord.
Keeper of the stars, Lord of time and space. My heart.
Appreciate him in your life. Let's just take a moment to do that.
Strength, Lord, for your presence. Lord, your scripture says, my presence goes with you. Lord, it also says, be still and know that I am God. And Lord, we just take that, Lord, and just say, yes, Lord. We want to sense you, Lord. We want to hear you. Lord, you're here to walk amongst the golden candlesticks. You're walking amongst us. And Lord, as you walk by, I pray that you would just allow us to just sense that brush of your presence as you go by. And so, Lord, we thank you. We ask that you would guide us and lead us, Lord, and open up our hearts to hear what you have to say to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Reach out and say hello to one another and take a moment here. All right. So we have Children's Church. If the kids want to go, they're welcome to. Or if they want to stay with your parents, that's welcome to do that also. But we have a class for them if they would like. Well, good morning again. And as we were worshiping, did you know we have two worship teams? What? Yeah. There's this team up here, and then there's this team out here. And we all are a part of the same worship. When we go into the presence of the Lord, it's not just the team here, it's the team that's out there. When they hear your voices, when we're singing and we're worshiping, it's like a reflection, and it really blesses just as much as they bless you, you bless them. So I just want to encourage you, you know, when you're worshiping, just know that you're a part of it. This is part of our worship team. You're the second part of the worship team. So we're going to be finishing the book of Revelation today. We started this January of this year, and I had said that it's going to take us almost a year to get through Revelation, and we're right at the end of November, so I think we were pretty close to being on schedule to what we were going to do. So this morning we pick up here in chapter 22 at verse 6 of the book of Revelation. Lord, we thank you for this book. Lord, we thank you for the blessings who those who read it, who hear it, and who keep it. And Lord, this is really the only book that said that there's a blessing if we do this. And so I pray that, Father, that as we have ears to hear what you have to say, Holy Spirit, that we would listen. We would listen for that message in the message, Lord, as it is in the book of Ezekiel, Lord, the wheel within the wheel. There's something here that you want to say, Lord, to each and every one of us. So I pray that, Father, that we would hear the message for our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, from last time when we were together last week, we were introduced to the tree of life and then the river of life. And each one had its own, each individual symbolism in that. The river of life was this crystal clear water coming through this river. It was symbolic of the constant flow of God's Spirit, of the Holy Spirit there in the kingdom. Now, as it's flowing there from God and the Lamb, on either side of this river, there were these two trees. There was a tree of life on both sides of it, and the leaves, as the scripture said there, that they were used for the healing of the nations, but also that word healing means to be revitalized or to be invigorated or to be energized. Because, see, in the kingdom, in this time, there's no more sickness. So there's really no need for the healing of any illnesses because the illnesses will be gone. This, and the word here is important that when we do a study, that we look at the words and we do what's called a proper word study. So this word is a very important healing. It means to be revitalized or reinvigorated or to be energized. So Jesus, remember when he was here with us in this world, he promised that he would send us a comforter, a precursor of what heaven is going to be. And what it is that he would send us the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit would endue us with dominus, or with power, to be reinvigorated. I know that in my life, I need to be energized. I need to be invigorated, and because I get weary, I get all these other effects of my life that they wear me out, and I need help. And so God promised, and he sent us this one Holy Spirit, and he is here to refresh us. And here in heaven, it's an endless source of refreshing to those that are there. And Jesus said this, Behold, I make all things new. The former things have passed away. And in this, it's interesting that this curse of sin is gone. I don't know about you, but I know for me, my sinful nature is with me, and it pulls on me. And I thank God for my brand new born-again strength to be able to overcome. But at the same time, this old man, he still pulls on me. Well, here the curse is gone. That pull towards that is gone. I mean, everyone in here, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We all are sinners. And we face the truth, and the fact is that we have a tendency to be pulled towards sin. And as you've heard me say, I've been up on driving down the street and somebody cuts me off and my old sinful nature comes to the surface. I can't help it. It's just, but I can do what Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I resist that. I turn to the Lord and I say, okay, Lord, I just pray you help this guy, whatever he's doing, as he goes by and is yelling at me and everything, because, you know, I'm not doing what he wants to do. So, but here in the kingdom, here in this place, that's been replaced. It's instead of that pull towards doing that which our sinful nature is, the pull is to serve God and to love God and to worship God and to love one another. And it's just going to be, it won't be something that is forced on us. It'll be something that will come from our heart. It'll be a part of our living nature, this whole new person that we are. So we have the precursor of that being born again. We get a taste of heaven because of being born again. We get a taste of the joy and the peace and the love and the long-suffering and the kindness. We get a taste of it. And that's where the Lord says, taste and see that the Lord is good, that we get this good taste in our mouth and we want more. I want more of that. I want more of that precious presence of God in my life. So we're picking up here in verse 6 of chapter 22. Throughout the book of Revelation, John has been led by an angel who would tell him to look, to listen, and to write. And so John here, he sits and he listens and he writes down. Then he said to me, this angel, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. The problem that people, many people have with the book of Revelation is that they don't do the word studies. They look at different words and they go, okay, well, you know, look, he says, I'm coming quickly. Where is he? Well, he's been gone for 2,000 years. Well, how quick is that, you know? Well, we have to do a word study in here. And in Nehemiah 8:8, he said that you read distinctly from the book, bring the sense, and then bring the meaning. In other words, take the word of God, we just read the word of God, and then we make sense of it, we divide it out, and we take these and do our word studies. And then what we do is we take that and we apply it and we put it all together, and then what we do is we make it make sense. In other words, we find an application for it. Well, he says here that these words are faithful and true. In Psalm 138, verse 2, God says this about his word, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. God takes his word seriously. He takes the use of his word seriously, because we're going to find that out at the very end of the book. You don't add to or take away from the words of this prophecy. You don't mess with God's word. He says that back in Deuteronomy also concerning the law. But here we look at these words like, which must shortly take place. This word shortly in the Greek is tekos. We get our word tachometer from it. And it implies that it's something that's at an ever-moving, increasing movement at a rate that is always increasing. In other words, when we're looking at this, he's saying, behold, is faithful and true. And he sent these in that must shortly take place. He's talking about time. Now, God lives outside of time. He lives in eternity. Time to him has no, I mean, he's relating to us because we live in time. But he's outside of time. So he says there that it shortly must or takes place. So what he's saying here is that in the end times, things are going to really begin to rev up like an engine. You put your pedal to the metal, and what happens? And it takes off. It increases. Now, if you've ever been in a big city and you've had to hail a taxi, New York, L.A., wherever, once you get in that cab, hang on. because you take off. And that's exactly what this is talking about. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, he says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. So he's telling him at this time what he's been sharing with him. At this time, don't open it up. Don't open that time, because there is a time when it will be opened until the time of the end. But many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. What he's saying here, and we look at today, time and the way things are and the way we live, to and fro means it's increasing exponentially. Okay, first we started out with, you know, a horse, and then we got a buggy, and then we got from a buggy, and then we got an internal engine, we got a bigger engine, then we got a plane, and then we got jets, and now we have rockets, and now we have all of these things are an increase of what Daniel says. And knowledge shall increase. Let me ask you, has your iPhone, if you have an iPhone, when you bought it, is it still current? The day you bought it, it was already out of date. And this knowledge that he says here will increase means exponentially. It's going to keep going and going and going. And because knowledge begets knowledge. The more that you add to it, the more that it becomes. And so Daniel is already seeing this ahead of time. He's seeing how we're going to be running around like we are, and knowledge will increase. And then Jesus says here in verse 7, behold, I come quickly, okay? First it was which must shortly take place, and then Jesus says, I am coming quickly. It's interesting that this word here, the other one was tekos, this word is takis. And it's very similar, and it implies both the same meaning of tekos. It means that things are going to happen quickly. Matthew 24, when Jesus starts talking about the end times in Matthew 24, he says this about the woman and her, like that day, it'll be like a woman's birth pangs. You've ever had a baby? You know that it sits back and goes boom, 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 and it ends up being like boom, 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 boom. And it happens so much and so great at the end, you can't even tell one contraction from the other because they're all the same, but it's increasing. And this is exactly what tachyous means. It means that it's going to increase. So we're saying the same thing. He's saying there shortly take place, and he's also saying coming quickly. So we have to remember that Israel is the key here, where we live right now. It's as though Israel got called, and she's calling for a taxi. 1948, Israel got in the taxi, okay? What's been happening since 1948 with Israel and the rest? It's hang on, because things are increasing. We end up having this world that we are under attack. We have this world that we live in where good is becoming bad and bad is becoming good, as Isaiah would say. We look at New York now with a Muslim communist mayor. And then also in Washington, there is this... Also, this move for, is somebody that's there that's a Muslim that's there, a mayor, Seattle? Goodness sake. Every time we turn around, there's something else. Doesn't it kind of blow you away when you look at New York that 9/11 ended up getting blasted, and they're turning their hearts over to the very people that attacked them? What is good has become evil, and evil has become good. If you're a believer and you're born again and you're walking with the Lord, you are an enemy of that whole regime. Well, we know where that comes from because we've been studying it here in the book of Revelation. It's called the spirit of the Antichrist. We are there, folks. The Antichrist whole system is in place right now. China. Susie came and she shared with me something this morning. It blew me away. They have this new AI system that's going on over there that's basically tagging everybody, tagging everything about you, your eyes, your fingerprints, your hair color, that'll change, your facial symmetry, the color of your eyes, even the eye itself. they just keep going on. Your car, your home, your what you, how you walk, whatever, they're putting all this all together. And what's that telling us? That telling us that we are on the edge. We're at the, we're not in the last days, we're in the last moments. These are the very, very precursors of what the whole mark of the beast is all about. We're living in a moment where, any moment now, we could hear a trumpet and we could hear a shout, and that's it. We're done. You know, in Thanksgiving, you sit back and make sure the turkey's done. Well, the popper pops up. That's us. We're done. We'll pop up. We're ready. But Jesus, he says, behold, I come quickly. And we know that as we look, well, wait a minute, that's been 2,000 years. Well, Israel is the key. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, he says this about God's timetable. God's day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So in other words, time to God has no relevance. It doesn't matter to him. See, he's been gone 2,000 years. Jesus has been gone 2,000 years, and to him it's only been a couple of days. So things are going to be happening quickly on our timetable, according to us. Now, as we continue on here, it wasn't long ago that John had fallen down and he had worshipped an angel. Well, here he goes again, you know, verse 8. He says, now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. Bottom line, worship God. So as we're looking at this portion of Scripture, you know what this tells me? It tells me that God is a God of forgiveness, and his forgiveness is inexhaustible. Here's John. He comes and he does the same thing again. And what happens? You know, he's moved on, say, hey, don't do that. Remember the woman caught in adultery? And she's there, and he says to the woman, where are your accusers? And she says, not here, Lord. And he says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. God is a God of forgiveness. He says, move on. Remember not the former things. Get away from wherever you were and keep going. Well, yet here's John. He does the same thing, makes the same mistake again, and yet God still uses John. You know, that to me is encouraging. How many times have you made a mistake and you've walked and did something in the Lord that you shouldn't have done? And the Lord says, no, I'm not here to accuse you. Just go, don't do it again. How many times have you been done that? Okay, well, I'm ready. And he says, okay, come on, Dan, walk with me. You know, and if that guy yells at you again, just turn the other way, turn the other cheek. You know, just, it's going to happen. Now, we come to a place here in Revelation where the final state of where both good and evil are going to be fixed. And verse 10, he says, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy. I want you to notice that there's a division here. There's a place where you're on one side or you're on the other side. Let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. If there's one thing that we're never to neglect here, according to verse 10, is the reading of this book. What book? Not just the Bible, but this book, the book of Revelation. And that is where some are derelict in their duty as pastors to do. They're afraid to do it. They're afraid to jump into it because they haven't studied and haven't looked to see what it means. They haven't done it like they should. So I don't want to be that. When God calls and I have to give an account and he says, why didn't you? Well, he can't say that because I have and I will and I continue to do that. And that's not just me, that's you. Every one of us should be into this word, into this portion. Do not seal up the words. Don't restrict the words of this prophecy. Well, it's just because, you know, what some have in Revelation 1:3, Some have said that it's too complicated. It's too hard to read. It's too hard to understand. And a novice shouldn't try to touch it. It doesn't matter. You can be the first year born again Christian. Read it. And what it'll do is it'll spark a curiosity in you, which is good. If you don't understand it, it'll make you go, I want to find out. And that's part of why we should read it, because there's things about it that go to Ezekiel. You know, you sit back and look at these angels. You ever read Ezekiel and look at the angels? Eyes upon eyes everywhere and wings all about and four faces on the... This is a pretty awesome looking creature. Well, where do we other find other angels? You look at other angels in the Bible, and they come with to Abraham, and there's three angels with him, and they look just like us. So I don't know if you've ever been a fan of Star Trek or not, but they're shapeshifters. They can shift into a different shape, and they can be whatever God wants them to be. And for you, you can entertain, and Hebrews says that you can entertain an angel unaware. Bringing that, my wife was in a wreck in Savannah years ago, and it was a pretty severe wreck, and she was hurt. And they had her out sitting on this stump, and she was there, and this lady came, and she was over her, and she was just, you know, praying for her and putting her arms around her and comforting her and stuff. And so Susie had called me, and I came up, and I drove up, and there she was. As I drove up, and I go, oh, thank you. And her name, I can't remember, it was some Angelica name or something like, you know, it really was. It was like Angelica or something like that. And so we're praying and everything, and I was, you know, holding her, and she was crying and everything. And I looked up, and this gal was gone. And I looked around, and we were out in an open space where she had to really be trucking to get out of there, you know. But she was gone. And I said, Susie, where's that gal? And she goes, I don't know. So all I can say is I'm going to give glory to God, because that was my entertaining an angel unaware at that moment. And sometimes I've talked to some of you, and you've had an angel unaware happen with you too. You know, so just be aware that they are there. But he says, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And so we're looking at this. We're never to neglect it. At the beginning of Revelation, he promises there's a blessing for those who read it, for those who hear it, and for those who keep the words of this prophecy. And he basically says the same thing. Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. In other words, this is like opening up a future newspaper, and you're looking ahead to things that are going to take place. I mean, in the stock market, it's called inside trader. You know, we're inside traders, because we can see what's going to happen before it happens. So we're here, and as we're here in this portion of Revelation, we're not to seal it up. In other words, we're not to keep it closed. We're to open it up. Every believer should be in this book. We should be there. And it's not to be shut up or sealed away. Daniel was told to seal up his vision because it was for the end time. But here, we're told to open it up. We're not to seal it. He says, don't seal it. Don't shut it. Don't keep it closed. Now, every person that comes to Christ, if they still choose to be unjust and filthy, they're going to stay that way. I mean, if you truly come to Christ, you're going to change. And that's the difference. If you come to Christ, you'll be different. But on the other hand, those who choose not to respond to that call of God by his son Jesus, they're going to live in that state of unjust and filthiness in their lives. They can say all they want that they're born again, but if their life, the fruit, you'll know them by their fruit. If they live by that, it's not the truth. Now, there are two choices here. A person can make one. One says, I don't believe all this, and I don't want any of this, okay? And that choice is to say, I'd rather have hell than I'd rather have heaven. And then the second choice is to say, I believe, and I want all God has for me. And that's what I believe. I believe I want everything that God has for me. And that's saying, I want all of heaven. I want to be so heavenly-minded that I can be earthly good. You know, people, you know, the other side of that, he's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. Well, I want to be so heavenly minded that I can be earthly good, because people want to know about heaven. They want to know, and the only way they can know is that when we learn about heaven and we talk about heaven, we go into the book of Revelation, and or else Ezekiel or Daniel, we're going to find out a lot about heaven. So as we come to the end of the book, Jesus sets his seal of authenticity on it, and he says, "And behold, I am coming quickly." Here he says it again. I want to say this about God. If he says something one time, it's vitally important. It's vitally important. If he mentions the same subject more than once, it becomes what's called an imperative. In other words, it's going to happen. You can take it to the bank. It's real. So he says, "I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Well, we're going to talk about that one too. "I am the Alpha and the Omega." See, as we're looking at this, behold, means look up, be aware of. "I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." So this is what the work is, okay? Now he states why we have to have the understanding of who he is. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I'm coming quickly. The reward is with me to give to everyone his work." And what we need to have is what he's saying in this next verse. This is who I am. This is where we're crossing the threshold of walking in our own understanding, and we're walking in an understanding that takes us into that place of understanding in the Spirit. "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm what you're looking for. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm the first and I'm the last. You want to understand who I am?" And that's why he's saying, this is where our work is understanding this next verse. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And so then the angel steps in and says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments." In other words, as Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple. You know, we keep him and we keep his commands. His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs. Now, when he says outside, remember we were talking about the outer darkness? In this place of Jesus said that it would be cast out into the outer darkness. The outer darkness is really is hell. And what it is this place that is like a black hole. A black hole has this power, this gravitational power that we see in the physical, to pull in, and light can't even escape it, and it pulls it in. Well, this aspect of hell, the outer darkness, is that there's flames, but you can't see the flames. And these flames are going around, and what they are is whatever is there, you will sense it, but you won't see it, but it'll because the outer darkness. Well, they are there, and they are in this place in the outer darkness, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immorals and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. So he's talking about those not a part of the kingdom, but they're outside the kingdom. They're outside in this place, and that they've been cast into. And then verse 16 says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." Now, when Jesus says that he's going to give to everyone according to his works, we have to look at the context of what he means when he says by this word work. When we think of work, we're thinking about, okay, well, we got to do this and we got to do that, and it's got to be good, and it's always doing good. And that's true. You know, there is a priority here about works that we can't get confused about. He wants us to do good works. He wants us to do those because that's what Scripture says. It says that we will be his workmanship in Christ Jesus for good works. So whatever he's doing in us is that he's working this work in us so that we will do good works. But that isn't really the idea here, because he takes one instance here. "Behold, I am coming quickly," and he's bringing us something that we have to believe. I am the Alpha and Omega. Oh, that's what it's all about. It's about believing. It's about believing, and it's about maintaining that belief. And the way that we do that is by getting into the Word of God, by having Bible studies, doing our own Bible studies, and then learning. In John 6, 28 and 29, then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered them and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." When we believe what he says, we obey. When I hear and I believe what he says, I do what he says. If he says, not this way, this way, okay, Lord, my flesh wants to go this way, but I know you're saying this way. If I'm his disciple, if I belong to him, then what he tells me to do, it shows and it reflects that I believe him. And this is part of the fact. It doesn't save me. It just shows me that I believe him. And I believe him. And this is the work that we should do, that we believe on him whom he sent. The hardest work that we have to do is just maintaining faith. We're under attack all the time about our faith. Well, you know, God, if God is with you, then how come you're going through so many trials? How come it's so hard? How come it's this and how come it's that? Well, it just shows that, okay, Lord, I need you. I don't know what else to do. And here I am. I'm in the middle of all of this. And Lord God, I want to be like what Israel did. What Israel did when they didn't know what to do, they cast their eyes upon you. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's what happens when we're walking in faith and we're put up against a situation that sits back and says to us, well, there's no way. You know, hey, he's been gone for 2,000 years. Where's the promise of his coming, Scripture tells us. Well, Lord, what do I do? Well, you fix your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. That's what you do. You look to Jesus. He is the master and commander of time and space. And Lord, what else can I do? And this is what I do. I build myself up in my faith. I build myself in that thing. When I start looking at what's going on, I look at Israel. I see Israel where Israel is, and I see what's going on there. And what it does for me is it encourages me. It encourages me, although I see the atrocities of all the things that are going on in the Middle East and with us, I look around and I go, oh, Lord, have mercy on all of us. But I keep my eyes on him, and as I do, I see the place and time where Jesus says, when you see Israel is surrounded, when you see her from all sides and all the nations are against her, look up. This is where I encourage you all, look up. The moment is at hand. I'm going to share this until the day happens. The moment is at hand. And it could be today, it could be now, it could be in the next minute or two. I could be talking in the next minute, open my eyes, and there's Jesus. In the same way, we have to be ready. Ah, I got off on a rabbit trail, didn't I? Well, this is the work that we should do, is we believe on him whom he has sent, and that's Jesus. Now, Jesus, he says that, my works are not burdensome. They're not hard. We make them hard. We're the one who makes them hard. But following the Lord isn't meant to be complicated. Our work is to remain focused. Do you have trouble focusing anymore? Does it seem like as time goes on, things are happening faster and faster and faster? At such a rate that you can't even keep track of what happened just a few minutes ago. Now, I'm not just talking about when you get old. I'm talking about when you're living. It seems like every day something's happening, something's changing, and you're trying to remember, well, what was that they said? What was that? And what do we got to do? And that's changed. Things are changing so fast, and I think that's just part of the ploy of where we are. But see, we're living in these times where we look up and we go, okay, God, what do I do now? Hebrews 3, verse 14, it says that it's concerning those who were in the wilderness and they were in a place where they were struggling to believe that in there, that it says that they failed to enter in because of unbelief. They fail to enter in. Now, this is the work of God that you believe in him. Well, they didn't enter in because of unbelief, and that happens to a lot of people, is that they think they are, and they think they're there, but they're not. You know, it's like in Luke 23, verse 43, the thief on the cross, it only took 9 simple words. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. 9 words. For Peter, it was only 3 words. Lord, save me. Remember, he's walking on the water. Lord, save me. Matthew chapter 14. But for Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, he just says, Lord, and believing, and you'll be saved. Lord, do you believe? And that's the question to all of us. Good works follow, but good works don't save. Okay, let me say that. Good works follow, but good works don't save. It's trust and faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So as Jesus sets his seal of authenticity, you got to forgive my struggle with some of these words, his authenticity on this book, the angel gives instructions that there's a blessing for those who do his commands. Listening to him, if you're my disciple, you'll keep my word, you'll abide in my word, you'll do what I say. Now, only God could be here speaking of the offspring and the root of David. There's only one person that could be that, and that's God. There's only one person that could, he's the only one who could be both root and offspring. He started it, and he was the one who came from it. He's the one who started David, gave birth to David. He's the root, but he's also the offspring. He also came lineage, and God became a man and dwelt among us. So he's both God and man. He's both those, and this is basically its meaning. It means that it's speaking of David, and it's speaking of his offering, that Jesus is both the creator. He is the one who authored the life of David, and he's also his descendant. That's kind of a mind twister, really, but it's God. I mean, if you have trouble with the first sentence in the Bible, you're going to have trouble with stuff like this. In the beginning, God created, and the word created there is bara. It means something out of nothing. If you can believe that God can do that, well, what's the big deal about him being the creator and progenitor of David, but also being his offspring? We have a lot of people that have trouble with that, but, you know, that's for them to work out. I've already worked it out, and I'm good with it. Now, when you've seen churches, they have altar calls, okay? Altar call is when you come up and you're invited to come and bow before the Lord and stuff. Well, this next verse is basically that same idea. In verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. No restrictions now. There's an open fountain here for you to come. Throughout the scriptures, the message has been come. Scripture, he says here in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. Let's sit down and talk this thing out. And then in Isaiah, he says, ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And Isaiah also. And then also is in Jesus would say, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden. You hear the word, one word, all over and over. Come, come, come unto me. Let the children, little children, come to me, Mark. And then also in John 1. Come and see. Come and see. You know, so the Lord is saying, he's inviting us. I have a little phrase to that. You won't know unless you go. You won't know. You won't find out until you step out. So you have to come and you have to be a part whenever you hear that invitation of the Lord. Now, God has set in this book here, the one that you have in your lap, should have in your lap. He has in this book, what I call the bookends of God's bookends. He begins in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, telling us that not to add to or take away from the law. So he begins with the law and begins there saying, don't add to or take away the words of this book. Well, here in the Revelation, we see the other end of the bookends. Okay, when you have bookends, you usually have a lot of other books in between, right? Okay, well, that, get a picture in your mind. You got this one in Deuteronomy, now we're having this one in Revelation. And think about everything in between. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Jesus says, I am coming quickly 6 times in the book of Revelation, 6 times. And so, is he coming quickly? He's coming quickly. You know, our lifespans can be 70, 80, 90, even 100. But for him, this is no big day. Day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, so he's only been gone a couple of days in his eyes. But for us, we may not be on the scene, but I want to encourage you, don't give up hope. Israel, again, is the key. 1948, Israel's a nation. That nation that's alive will not pass away until they see the coming of the Son of Man. Wow, that's pretty cool. Well, let's see, we're all getting, at least I am, I'm getting up there. And I remember when I first got saved, I'm going, well, that means he's going to be here really soon. Well, you know what? Israel is still under the gun. And I'm looking around, I'm going, okay, she's surrounded. All these other things are happening. These things have to take place. These, before we are raptured, this world is getting ready for what it's going to go through in the tribulation. God is setting the stage. You ever been to a play? It just doesn't happen. They're up there. They're setting up the all the things on the stage, and they're putting it. God's setting the stage. He sees the end from the beginning, Scripture tells us. So he knows what's coming up. And so I look at this as the stage is being set. And so Jesus says, I'm coming quickly, and that means he is. The warning is, if you're tempted to add to this book, you might want to think twice about it before you do. Because the plagues that are in here, they'll become yours. I don't want to have any. If you miss this first portion of the book of Revelation, go back and read some of it, and you'll look and see. You don't want to have any part of those plagues. As Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us this about the Word of God. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. One side, if you add to this Word, and on the other side, if you take away from this Word, both sides, both edges. One side, the plagues will be added to you. On the other side, the blessings of the book will be taken away. Like I said, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 is the beginning of the bookends, and then here we have the other side. And basically in between are all the other books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you know, and so on, all the way to the book of Revelation. If he tells us in the law not to mess with the book, and he tells us here at the end, don't mess with the book, We'd be derelict to sit back and do that, to mess with it, to change it, to try to add to it. That's how come you got to read distinctly from the book, whatever it says, whether it's in the law or whether it's in the prophets, whether it's in the gospels, it doesn't matter. Be distinct about what you're reading and looking. And so this word is, don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. Be careful how you handle this word. When I teach Revelation, it's like every time I'm digging through there, I'm just going, okay, I got to make sure that that's precise. I got to be very careful about this. It's like handling crystal. I feel like sometimes when I'm handling the Word of God in the book of Revelation, that I've got a whole tray of crystal that they're all standing up like this, and it's about ready to, because I don't want to drop any part of it. I don't want to see it, any part of it fall off. Now, the last phrase of the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, "Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, that's the last words of the book of the law, the Old Testament. But here in the New Testament, we end with, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." In other words, God's final word on the subject is grace. You know the definition of grace. I'm sure you do. But if you don't, it means getting what you don't deserve. You don't deserve heaven, but you're going to get heaven. Getting what you don't deserve. You know, I deserve heaven. But I deserve hell, but I'm going to get heaven. And I'm getting something that I don't deserve. I'm getting heaven, and so are you. You're born again. So he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." It's grace, and it's his grace he wants us to be. The only way we're found in grace is through his Son, through Christ. "No one comes to the Father except through me," Jesus said. Except through grace. Jesus is the message of grace. No one comes to the Father except through grace. You can't get there in any other way. The foundations of the wall, as we learned earlier, there in the New Jerusalem, there were the names of the 12 apostles, and their message was a message of grace. Zechariah says this, chapter 4, verse 5, "Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' And he said, 'No, my Lord.' So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel: not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace. Grace to it. The immovable thing in our lives without Christ is sin. And what he does is that Jesus, through the cross, says grace to it. This mountain, to be able to come into the presence of God, without grace we can't go in. But with grace we can walk straight in boldly because of the cross. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? You're not a big deal." And God says he's going to cast it down and he's going to make it like a plain. He's going to flatten it out. See, when Jerusalem was destroyed and Zerubbabel was going back there to rebuild, Jerusalem was in ruins and it had all these ruins and they were all despondent and discouraged. And the Lord, he says, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. All this great mountain of these ruins, this mess, it's going to become a plain. It's going to be flattened out because he's going to speak and shout grace, grace to it." And that's the message of the book of Revelation. So after going through this book, I want to admonish you all. Set your eyes on the affections of the things of heaven. Set your eyes on grace. Set your eyes on those things. Don't be discouraged. Don't be despondent. You know that fixing your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith is where you find your encouragement. See those things. Grab a hold of those things. And the reason for that is so you can be heavenly minded, so you can be earthly good. We want to be that. I want to be that, and I pray that for you. Before we finish today, Susie has a song that she has developed from chapter 22, verse 17. So Susie, if you want to come up and share that with us before we have our benediction this morning.
This song was written by me about 20 years ago. And when I first heard that Jesus is going to come back and that we as his bride, the church, are to be there with him saying, "Come, come." And that we are partakers with him. All that are a part of the body of Christ, are his bride. And as his bride, we're to share the love of Christ and to bid those who are on the outside to come to Christ. And so that's what this song is about, taken from that scripture. Whoops, something happened. Excuse me. Sometimes the keyboard does this. It says, oh, you don't want to play that. But it has to sit to play what I say, right? Not what it wants to do. Okay, I'll be right there. Hold on. Okay. Okay. Father, I long to see your face, to dwell with you in the most holy place. Yet now is the time to proclaim your grace and your love call to those of an unholy race. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. One day to live as your heavenly bride, no longer veiled and right by your side. Yet now is the time to walk in the night and cry out with the Spirit, saying, come to his light. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And the one who hears say, and let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. To freely give of the water of life is a most holy task. Serving a cup in the name of the Lord to those too thirsty,
Lord, we just do come and we say thank you, Lord, for satisfying the refreshing of our spirit and our soul, Lord. By grace and by mercy, Lord God, you have begotten us into a new hope in Christ, Lord. We thank you, God, that we don't stand on the strength of our own strength, Lord. We stand on the strength that you give us, God, because we can't come to you, Lord, unless, God, you call us and you call us. You invite us to come. And so I just thank you for that, Lord God. And God, with that, even in that portion of it, Lord, I want to open up that, God, if there is anyone here that has not said yes, that, God, that they want to exchange that life for your life, Lord God, to ask you to come in and to receive and to ask for forgiveness, Lord, I want to give an opportunity to be, I'd be derelict if I didn't do that, Lord. And so, God, if you see, Lord, you're walking amongst us, you are here in the midst of us, and if there's any here, Lord, that you see, touch them, Lord, as you walk by, that they would sense your touch, and that if they want to say yes to you, Lord, that we will pray, and Lord, that give them an opportunity to come to you. So, Lord, I just pray that, Father, as we are here, that if there's any here that don't know you, maybe you've been in church all your life, we've had that happen before. And Lord, if there is, and there's someone that wants to say, you know what, I want the simplicity of the gospel. I want the simplicity of salvation, that exchange of my life for his life. unrighteousness for righteousness, holiness for unholiness. Lord, if there's anyone here, I give that opportunity. If you are, just raise your hand and I'll be glad to pray for you this morning. Thank you, Lord God. What a magnificent God you are, that you would love us and you would care for us so much. So, Lord, we surrender this day, our lives to you. We are under your command. Lead us and guide us, Lord, into all truth as you promise. Holy Spirit, we depend upon you for the strength in our lives. We just ask, God, for your blessing now, Lord, on our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and do our blessing, our Aaronic blessing this morning. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for helping us through Revelation. God bless you all. Shalom. Bless each other in the Lord with the peace of God. God bless you all. Shalom.